Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, ho, ho, everyone. A very big pre-Christmas welcome to our regulars, as well as any new listeners. Sadly, this is our last episode of the season and of the year, but we'll still be active on social media during our absence from the digital airwaves, so make sure you follow us on Twitter at Pubs Pints People. It's the show, Pubs Pints People. My name is Ant, and during the podcast, you'll also hear from my two fellow colleagues and presenters, Claire and Matt, and we'll be chewing the fat about beer, cider, pubs, and some of the great people who make it all happen. Hello, both.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Well, talking about the people who make the podcast happen, we have a wonderful team of volunteers, don't we, have made this season, and four seasons it's been now, and we're very grateful for everybody to get involved. Some of the people have a job at camera, but most of volunteers, like ourselves, giving up time out of their lives, scripting episodes, editing recordings, organising interviews, you name it. And we're actually always looking for new people to get involved. And now is a really great time to do it, because there's going to be a bit of a gap to the next series. So there are actually two vacancies, quite big vacancies going, because we can announce that Ant and I are actually, this will be our last episode of the podcast.
Something I said?
It was Claire. You're wonderful. And so you always get all of the complicated bits to read out, and we just basically sit here laughing and not pronouncing websites correctly. Yeah. You know, that's basically our role now.
I mean,
so it's time for us to go.
It is. I mean, Claire, it's just the fact that you drink stout in the summer and golden ale in the winter. I just can't get my head around it, Phillips.
Yeah, no, I know. Oh well, I will be very sorry to see you both go. So it's a very sad day today.
But it's been fun, hasn't it? Matt and I have been with the show since 2019, so it seems like a good time for us to step on and let other people come in and give this show a big boost. We're sure that there's some of you out there listening who would love to have a crack at being a podcast presenter. It is such a fun thing to do. Make no bones about it, folks. Matt, Claire and I have had an absolute blast. And Katie, of course, before she went on her mat leave. Mm-hmm. Recording this show is a barrel of laughs, and we'd love to see some new people. I will certainly be listening to the show in my life beyond presenting.
One thing to point out is that it is for volunteers. We don't get paid.
We don't.
No matter how professional we sound. You know, we rarely get a beer, you know, out of it, but there is the odd few. But you do get a very good feeling inside for helping camera, the odd beer, and a t-shirt and a glass, let's not forget that.
Absolutely.
And also, it's a great way to find out how podcasts work. It looks excellent on your CV. It's been great in mine. Got a new job recently, so maybe that was part of it. If you want to volunteer, you've just got to email podcast@camera.org.uk and you'll be told loads more about it.
And while you're looking at websites and getting in touch, why not think about doing your Christmas shopping online at the Camera website? You just click on Camera Shop at the top of the page, check out the organisation's Christmas gift range, because there's even a T-shirt with Pubs, Pints, People, and you don't have to be one of the presenters to wear it. Anyone can wear it. So while you're exploring, don't forget you can also get updates on stories in the beer world by signing up for What's Brewing news alerts on wb.camera.org.uk. So three things off your list already. Get involved as a Camera podcast volunteer, do the Christmas shopping, and keep in touch with Camera. All done in one go. No long URLs to read out on that one. I must thank Tony, who's a regular listener who's been in touch, telling us how to shorten long URLs. But hey, we love them, don't we? And they're all in the podcast notes anyway.
There we are. This is just the show that keeps on giving, folks, isn't it? Now, as we're coming to the end of the year, we thought it'd be a good idea to look forward to next year. It is a time of reflection for planning, of course. So our theme for today, for this final episode of Season 4, is what and who in 22. Isn't that catchy? Now, we've got Alison Taft grilling our panel of experts in two parts. In the first part, she's speaking with Nikki Kong of the intriguingly named Cat in the Glass online bottle shop and Helen Smith of the Boreham Collective, supporting beer and cider workers through their vital networking space and blog. Now, they are ideally placed to pick out all the new stuff that's trending up. And if you hear a few of the unfamiliar terms, then we'll do our best to explain them afterwards. But, you know, no promises. So let's go straight to part one of What and Who in 22.
So hello, I'm here with Nikki Kong, who owns and runs the Cat in the Glass, a very well-known beer and cider retailer. And also with me is Helen Smith. She's the founder of the Boreham Collective, and she's working in hospitality and currently making cider with Little Pomona in Herefordshire. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining us for the podcast. And we have a very exciting topic to talk about today, which is what exciting things are coming up. So we're going to talk about who and what we are excited about in terms of new trends and trend setting for the coming year and onwards. So first of all, thinking about beer, I'm wondering if there's something that you've seen, read about, tasted, experienced that you're particularly excited about for beer trends. Helen, do you want to start with this one?
I think the thing I've noticed most that I'm really excited about is the more kind of wild fermentation breweries that have slowly started to pop up, especially people like Evensong and then like Crossover Blendery, because I think we have a lot of that, like the US seems to have this amazing collection of people already doing that, and it's nice because obviously historically that's something that people would have done before in the UK, so it's really nice to kind of have that almost come back, because it's quite you know, people always talk about tradition, and actually that is tradition, and it's kind of nice to to see people starting to make some really weird and interesting beers, especially people like Evensong who want to work with cider makers, which is really cool. So I think for me it's going to be them, but then also like Reese from Don Zocco, who is making some amazing lagers, and I think that that's also something that is definitely making a real comeback. I mean, like Braybrook as well, they make some fantastic lagers, and I think it's really nice to have after having so many years of people dismissing lager, it's so nice to have people putting real time and care into their lagers.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? You've got two completely sort of what would seem two completely opposite sort of ends of the beer drinker spectrum there. But you're absolutely right. There's real excitement and energy about both. I think it's ironic with the mixed fermentations and exciting sort of fermentations things that how somehow what's really traditional seems to work its way around to being really trendy again, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice actually because Reese also has a sort of wild fermentation project alongside, so it's quite nice to see brewers who are who've got a really solid kind of can selection and then are also doing the 750s, and I think that's a really nice pairing, especially to present maybe for consumers who might not be super sure about beer.
Absolutely. Yeah, we find in the shop that we can get people to step up from a can to an exciting looking bottle because they recognise the name. So some of the work that Cloudwater have been doing with some of their interesting blended, and they've done a recently an interesting lager, and then we've even done a collaboration with Tom Oliver with a cider beer. So that's been really interesting for us to get people to move across to those exciting beers. I think you've picked up two really interesting trends there and some great names to look out for. Nikki, you also get involved in retailing beer, and I'm sure you've been tasting some exciting things. What are you excited about for 2022?
Well, pretty much the same as Helen, actually. I was going to mention the mixed fermentation and wild fermentation stuff. only because I've been fortunate enough to get some Degarde over from the US and Tommy Jeff from Belgium as well. It's just some amazing kind of wild fermentation, mixed fermentation in barrels. And I know in Manchester we've got Balance Brewing and Blendery who have just got started, so I'm really excited for what they've got to come as well in the next year or so.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm hurriedly scribbling some of these names down, Nikki, because there sounds like there's some great, sounds some really interesting stuff there. Yeah, I think we're all kind of sharing this excitement. We've been taking a lot of the work that Duration have been doing, and they've been having some collaborations and mixed fermentation things, and they've been superb. So, yeah, I heartily agree with you on that one. Anything else on the beer, Nikki, that's coming along that you're excited about?
I'm looking forward to seeing what Lakes Brew Co. are bringing out in the next year, because I know they've got together with some of the ex-Hawkshead guys. So I've not tried any of their beers just yet, but I've heard really good things. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they've got to come as well.
Superb. So that sounds like another one to watch. I'm sure none of us can wait to talk about cider, because I know we're all real passionate cider advocates. So, Nikki, you obviously selling a lot of cider through the Cat in the Glass, and there's lots of exciting things coming along. What in particular would you like to highlight?
I've been really enjoying the Caledonian ciders from up in the Scottish Highlands. I know they're quite small, so they don't have mass like output, but the stuff that he's released has been really good.
Brilliant. So, yeah, again, I love the idea of us talking with excitement about ciders from Scotland, where at one time we would have probably just, you know, not ever thought of that. Anybody else that you're looking forward to seeing more of? Any sort of trends you're seeing in cider?
I think the cider beer collabs have been going well, like with the Cloudwater Olivers. Then we saw the Vault City with Ascension, the Snakebite and Black. Yeah. I'd like to see more of those coming along. I think it's really interesting.
I've got them on my list as well. I think I've also got the Ross collabs with Odyssey have been amazing. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a really good way for us to get people who are craft beer aficionados to come across and try the cider makers and then perhaps get really excited about the craft ciders as well. So I think you've hit the nail on the head there with that one. Absolutely. Helen, cider, you're steeped in it at the moment. I'm sure you've got apples in your dreams. So tell us what you think.
Oh, no, I absolutely do. Yeah, it's interesting, actually. I think the first time I heard of Tom Oliver was through drinking a co-ferment that was with Thornbridge and Tom Oliver, and I'd never heard of him before, so I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I was like, who is this man? He just grows apples. So I think that's really cool, especially with the mill stuff. There's some amazing co-ferments. I think the most exciting thing at the moment for cider is actually seeing people, seeing makers relax and maybe do things they wouldn't have done before. I think there's some really kind of wonderful experimental things happening, which is really great to see, and kind of maybe do things that they weren't necessarily doing before, which is quite nice. And I think in terms of, I mean, new producers, we've just had the first release from Dower up in Scotland. They're making cider through almost like community apple gathering and stuff like that, which is really cool. They're just outside of Edinburgh, so they're almost like an urban cidery, but not quite. I think the other person who's I'm really excited about is Nightingale, who have obviously been around for a while, but they've just released 3 750s that are all really interesting and really exciting. And I think it's just really nice to see them doing something different. And like, I think their sort of can series are just like absolute smashers. So yeah, it's really nice to just see them kind of doing more and trying more things. And I think we're really lucky, because cider's in a really great place at the moment. I feel like, you know, every year we say that, but it's good. It's just getting better and better. So,
yes, we all keep saying it, and I hope that every year it's becoming more true, Helen. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Kent cider, because obviously being where I am here in East London, we take a lot of Kent cider, and we've got a lot of love for what Sam's doing with the Nightingale ciders. And also Kentish Pip have been releasing some really interesting things mm-hmm. in 750 bottles as well. So there's more to come, I think, from Kent cider. Also with getting people to get into cider, perhaps from a more of a wine preference or coming from the craft beer, you've got that lovely clean acid-driven style, which people find often a nice way to begin. So we're finding that really helpful, and hopefully there'll be a lot more things to come from the Kent cider makers. Certainly I know that people like Phil Turner are planning to play around a little bit more with things like Egremont Russet, which have mm-hmm. a lot of potential to give us exciting flavours. Thank you ever so much for your time. I will let you go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday morning, and I'll get in to get the shop open.
Well, there we are, folks. I mean, they covered quite a lot there. And before I go into the detail, I just want to say once again, thank you to Nikki Kong, who from Cat in the Glass, who ages ago sent us some absolutely wonderful cider.
Oh, yeah, they were wonderful.
Yeah.
They kept us going through the long seasons. It was a wonderful stuff. Now, as we said, a few terms that probably need clearing up there. There's some of you probably know them. But let's start with wild beer or wild fermentation. So back in the day, of course, all beer and cider was wild, and so were some of the people that drank it. This could be said the same for today, but making it was a bit random. You didn't really know what you were going to get, because it all depended about what yeast and bacteria happened to drop into your vat. On a good day, you could just have a good night and wake up with a hangover. On a bad day, you might not wake up at all, or suffer terrifying hallucinations.
Oh my goodness.
So we've all been there. But you know, but this was a bit more extreme in those days. And then the German purity law of 1516, probably my favourite German law, didn't even list yeast as an ingredient, one of the kind of the ingredients that had to go into beer to make it meet the regulations. And that's because no one had worked out that yeast was responsible for fermentation. And it was only until Louis Pasteur came along 300 years later and worked it out that we now know that yeast has a vital role to play, and now we decide to add it into the vats, so just allowing them to randomly float in.
And what most wild brewers do nowadays is to mix up the yeasts that they use and introduce them deliberately rather than letting them just drop in from the air, so that they can control the process. And one of the popular ones is Brett. You can look up what that's short for and you try and pronounce it, which literally means British yeast. So it's not just the Belgians who did this sort of thing in the past. And one type that's actually wild and Belgian, and you might have heard of, is lambic, and it's defined as local to its region, but British and US versions also use lambic style to indicate the open air style of fermentation. So a blended and matured lambic is called a goza. You might also see the term cool ship in the beer name, and that's the name of the vessel used to cool the wort using winter ambient temperatures. So there you are.
Oh, that was like a lecture from you there, Claire. I am much more educated for that. Now, two other terms you'll often come across are sour, which is a generic term for the taste produced when using some bacteria as part of the fermentation process, and saison, which is a more fruity taste due to some of the yeasts used, including Brett, and named for the fact it could only traditionally be produced at certain times of the year, hence season, saison. Now, all of these come under the umbrella term mixed fermentation, and this is providing a massive variety of depth of flavours of beer. This is why we're seeing a boom on all of your outlets and bottle shops. They're becoming really popular in the UK, aren't they? I mean, just in the past few years, you can see shelves and pubs just embracing the new. And as discussed by Alison and her guests, there's lots else to talk about, I'm sure, with this, but I'm sure there'll be loads of you that have got comments about it. There are so many educated listeners, we know that. Get involved on social media, give us a shout, share your beery facts with us here.
I've actually been trying a few of these more unusual varieties myself. I've been quite into wild beers, and I've just actually ordered a set of gozers and lambics. It's quite hard to get hold of sometimes. But I think they are one of these where it's going to take a few times for me to get used to them. Might be a bit of an acquired taste, but I think I've seen a lot of things in when you read Beer 52 magazine and things like that, where they kind of say once you're into it, then you're it's your beer of choice.
I'll tell you really what, I've been enjoying watching our mate James Blunt on is it on Amazon Prime or Netflix, Beer Masters?
But yeah, it's Amazon Prime, I think. Yeah, I've seen it on one of the streaming ones. I just came across it and started watching for a bit. It was really engaging, actually. It's really good.
It's fantastic. And they talk, there's a lot of different beer styles. If you've watched it all, don't ruin it for me. I've only just started episode two.
Yeah, I need to watch that as well. I haven't seen that yet.
Well, I think it's time for us to go back into the wild now as well, because we're heading out for our We're Only Here for the Beer section. Obviously, always about a pub that either we visited or want to visit. Maybe there's some unusual beers that are served at some of these pubs as well. Where have we been, guys? Maybe we've tried something different, or perhaps it's been the old regulars. Where are we going to go to this week?
Well, I haven't actually tried the sours and saisons at this particular pub, but it is a pub I love to visit, and it has been in the Good Beer Gutter. I'm not sure if it's in the current edition, and I say current because I'm not sure whether I'm talking about 21 or 22, but the Edwardston White Horse in the village of Edwardston near Sudbury, and attached to the pub is a brewery called the Little Earth Project, and they really specialise in these sours and saisons and all sorts of, I use the word unusual, just sort of, you know, different to what you expect in a lot of pubs in this part of the world. I'm not a massive fan of all the sours, but even I've been sort of tempted to try one or two different ones when I've visited this pub. And it's lovely. It's in the middle of the countryside. They've got a campsite there, so you can stay overnight and try all the different beers that they have. They have beers from different local breweries as well. Lovely walking countryside around there, real fires. It's a fantastic pub and, certainly worth a visit.
And, of course, Little Earth Project being friends of the show, I think I had the pleasure of interviewing them a few seasons back. In fact, I was reminded when you were talking about the natural yeast and wild fermentation and your bit there, Matt, about how they were saying that they use all of the natural yeasts on the skins of the apples when they make their ciders, because there's lots on there, and usually the skins are discarded. If you're a regular listener of the show, you may remember. If not, go back and find that episode where we interviewed Little Earth Project.
Yeah, that must have been before my time on the show, I think, because I'd certainly have remembered if they were on when I joined. So I'll have to go back and listen again as well.
Definitely, it was wonderful. Now, for me, I'm heading over to my mate over in Hitchin, my mate Lee, listener of the show. Hello, Lee. And the pub that I'm going to be going to, my only here for the beer, is the Half Moon on Queen Street. We've been there loads. It's a nice nice small affair. It's one of those classic one-bar pubs, 18th century building. It's always got its two house ales, very typical two house ales, and then lots of different guest ones. I think on a good day, you'll get up to 8 changing guest ales. So, of course, there's plenty of variety. And with it being Hitchin, there's always something weird and wonderful, because it likes to put itself in that kind of status, that town. So, that's for me. The Half Moon is my only here for the beer this week.
Lovely stuff. Well, I've got a bit of a story to end my last episode of the podcast, a special We're Only Here for the Beer. So you remember ages ago I was talking about there was a pub in Berkhamsted where I live called the Crystal Palace that I thought had loads of potential, but it was going to be closed, and it was at one point it was going to be a community pub that couldn't go through, and then it was going to be turned into flats. It's actually been saved and refurbished and turned into an incredible, absolutely transformed pub. It's by a company called Big Smoke Brew, who have loads of pubs. I think they're kind of like a mini chain. And Rod Zaprotz actually tweeted about it, saying this is a fantastic thing. You know, it's got a lot of history. And I went there for their soft launch last week, and it was absolutely incredible. And I think I've tweeted about this already, but if it doesn't get in the Good Beer Guide, I don't know, next year, I don't know what would. It is absolutely fantastic. Also, incredibly prominently displaying camera discounts everywhere. I'm not saying I dropped in, you know, that I would did the camera podcast.
He went
not
in
saying
with his
that.
Good Beer Guide, his microphone. His
yeah, that was the thing, like wearing the T-shirt, holding my own glass, the camera glass.
A QR code with the URL to the webpage where his photo is on the camera website.
Just like, you know, just I mentioned it, but I was speaking to the staff. They're wonderful staff as well. They've done an amazing Christmas display as well, where they've because it's got an amazing window that looks out to the canal, and they've put wonderful like kind of Christmas design all over it. And I think it's a fantastic addition to the the town and was wonderful. And I had a lovely Underworld Milk Stout, which is one of the big smokes, like their own ones, that was absolutely fantastic. And a dimple glass with a handle, which you don't see that often nowadays.
No,
I do absolutely love. So I was very, very happy.
Well, with all of your spare time now that you're stepping down from presenting, Matt, perhaps you can go and canvas to get it into that Good Beer Guide 2023. How's about that?
That's
your
true.
Mission for the next 12 months, drink in there regularly and get the rest of the branch in.
That is true. That is my new mission. Now, we have our next interview coming up, and it's Alison Taff's part two, the sequel. This time, she's with Julie O'Grady of Neptune Brewery in Liverpool and Grant Hutchinson, drummer with Frightened Rabbit and now proprietor of Able Cider Specialist Shop in Anstruther in Fife, which I hope I pronounced correctly. Let's have a listen to what they have to say.
So first of all, thinking about beer trendsetters, who's getting you excited, Julie?
In beer at the moment, there's a couple of breweries, to be honest, that I think are brewing very, very good beer, including us, Neptune. I've got to give us a punt as well. We do excellent beer, especially in the cask. But I would say local to us, there's a brewery called Chapter Brewing. And the quality of their beer is excellent. They do really good varied beers in cask, keg and can, and their artwork is beautiful as well. So I think Noah and the team is doing some really, really good stuff there. There's also another lady in brewing, Katie from Nomadic, and she is brewing some really, really good cask beer as well. She's put a lot of hard work into the brewery, and she's quite well known as well for supporting women in beer. So obviously I've got to give a little plug to that, but her beer is really, really good. And as I say, at the moment I seem to be drinking more cask beer than I am keg beer, to be honest, but I do like both.
Course, and it's lovely to hear that you're sort of enjoying that. So Grant, going over to the apples and pears, where are you getting really excited? I know you get exposed to an enormous amount of new things through your work and through the podcast as well. So what is exciting you at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to talk about cider and beer in this way, because beer is much further on. So in terms of getting excited about things, I think there's probably a lot more in cider, because there's so many more new makers are appearing. Two or three that are particularly great, I think Little Pomona in Herefordshire, James and Susanna Forbes have been making some incredible ciders for the past few years, and using their background in wine, they're sort of taking a very interesting approach to it that is probably more in line with winemakers, barrel aging, bottling pet nat, almost exclusively wild fermentation, using a variety of different fruits, including a lot of experimentation with quince and peri pears as well. Another one to mention would be Hopped, who are based in Somerset. They call themselves New Fashioned Cider, and I think that what's great about their approach is that they're making fairly traditional Somerset cider, but presenting it in a way that it'll appeal to a younger generation and more drinkers outside of the West Country. They've got two specific bottles called Flare and Level, Flare being the kind of more accessible, sessionable cider at the kind of 4.9%, and Level maybe a bit more intense and a bit more complex and a bit richer. But they're now have bottles for sale in Tesco, which for craft cider is a huge step, for certainly for a cider maker making that kind of volume, to get that kind of leg up. Shows that they're doing the right thing, basically, and anything that can bring more people to cider as a category and as a drink is a great thing. And I should mention as well a maker up in Scotland. Scotland's seeing quite a lot of action in terms of cider making recently, and I think what's exciting and interesting about that is that cider makers up here, we don't have the traditional cider fruit you'd see in Somerset, Herefordshire, the West Country. But what I think is exciting in this, you've seen this all around the UK actually, is people using the fruit that they have, you know, to make a cider that's from a place. And Ryan at Caledonian Cider is someone who does that better than anyone really. And he's again using a lot of different techniques, keeving to create a slightly sweeter cider, and he's got good connections in the whiskey world, so he uses a lot of ex whiskey barrels for maturation and to kind of add texture and a bit more body to the stuff he makes. So yeah, he's also really exciting and doing it naturally as well, you know, which I think is commendable up in the Highlands.
Coming back to you, Julie, with beer, we've talked mm-hmm. about some of those specific people you're getting excited about. What sort of general trends are you seeing growing and think are going to grow through to 2022 and beyond?
At the present moment, I don't think lagers run its course. There is still, a number of breweries that are brewing, you know, Pilsners, Schwartz beer, Hells that are doing really well. Obviously, Lost and Grounded, they've just got an expansion underway as well, and you've got Utopian. So the likes of them, I think, and other breweries doing lager, that's not been forgotten about, I think. But things have changed, I think, in the past 12 months since, obviously, COVID raised its head. Most people now want to have lower ABV beers. They're going for more pales, not so much as the higher, something that they can drink, something that's more sessionable. So I think we're going to see probably more pales. As I alluded to earlier, bitters seem to be on the rise. More breweries are making bitters, which is great. You know, I love a good bitter, whether it's an ESB or a standard bitter. So you've got the likes of Red Willow. We're doing some really, really good straight up beers, pales. So yeah, I think for the next 6-12 months, that's the way it's going to go, easy drinking beers. And we've also seen a rise in low and no alcohol beers as well. I think the thing is that a lot of people haven't been out and about because obviously we've been restricted, and so when they get back into the saddle, so to say, they want to have something that's not too strong. So they're starting off with a lower ABV, and obviously people still want to go out and enjoy themselves, but a lot more people I think are going to, as I say, the low and the no, which like Big Drop are doing, Lucky Saints, which is a new brewery that I came across in the tap room here. We do provide a no alcohol and low alcohol lager, and that's come from them. So I think we're going to see a lot more of the lower than the what we've seen in the more extremes. They will still be there, the bigger stouts and IPAs, double dry hopped and things, but I think the lower is definitely the way forward. I think the thing now is that people who used to think of it was a low alcohol beer, we do one, as I say, Sangfroid, which is a recent one, 3% small IPA we called it, and it is full of flavour. A lot of these lower ABVs, whereas you think a couple of years ago that they're just going to be boring and nondescript, you're finding a lot of them do have big flavours with a low ABV.
That's the skill of the brewers getting more and more refined as they get better and better at making these low, and I can't wait to see where that goes. Grant, I come to you. Trends in cider. It's all so exciting. Where do you think it's going to be at in 2022 and beyond?
Julie mentioning the low ABV in beer is probably something worth mentioning in cider as well, and again, specifically in relation to Little Pomona. Again, they have started making a drink which they're calling a ciderkin, which in the wine world you would call a piquette, where they're rehydrating pomace from previous presses and repressing that to get as much of the juice out of the fruit as they can, and that ferments down to maybe 2%, 3% ABV, and they're really popular in the shop and through Restock as well. They sell extremely well because I think there is a trend towards lower ABV drinks. I do hope as well that maybe some of the newer cider makers look into even lower alcohol options, because alcohol-free cider, essentially apple juice, is not really a kind of well-made good option out there. Again, the low ABV category, keeving is a process that's probably going to get used a lot more. The results of that being a lower ABV and slightly sweeter, naturally sweeter cider, which I think is still the general mainstream palate is still looking for something on the sweeter side right now. I mean another trend, which it's saying this about beer probably would seem strange, but cider moving into cans or craft cider or more artisanal cider makers moving into cans, I think is something we'll see a lot more of. We've currently got Nightingale selling 440 ml cans of their cider. Tom Oliver, who's a very well known and established cider maker, has started selling his wild fermented full juice cider in cans, and also recently released a cider that is back sweetened and force carbonated, which some people might spit on the ground if they heard about that. But again, I guess it's in the cider industry at the moment, it's about understanding exactly where it is on its journey, and not trying to get too ahead of ourselves and not trying to think that we've arrived at the peak and that everyone wants to drink 750ml bottles of super dry tannic cider. it's a little bit further back in the journey than that. So the cans and that is helping introduce, I think it's helping introduce some craft beer drinkers to cider as a category, because it's in a format that they recognise, and you're not committing to 10, 15 pounds on a 750ml bottle, something that you might not enjoy. So that's great. And then another thing, as I mentioned earlier, I think cider makers utilising the fruit that they have at their disposal, wherever they are in the country or in the world, is a great thing and a great trend that I think will continue to grow.
There's a lot of great breweries out there, some of the smaller breweries, independent breweries that maybe drinkers wouldn't necessarily think of giving them a try, but you know what, it is absolutely worth it. Sometimes we go with the people that we just know or those we've not heard of, and I think that's the one thing with COVID that has given a boost to a lot of breweries, even was here at Neptune, people who didn't necessarily know that we've been brewing for a while. And I think that's important as well, don't just go with the bigger boys, support your smaller independents and try their beer. And the same with cider, I'm sure, as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think what's important for cider now is maybe drinkers going into places and asking about the cider selection. The majority of places wouldn't even have a cider selection, they'll just have a cider. So I think the more that we can encourage people to ask about it in bars and shops and restaurants, then that's when the people who run those establishments might realise, okay, well, we need to actually think about our cider, because so often it's just an afterthought. And even now when you go into some places, they'll have a beer list, which is fantastic, cans and maybe two or three lines, and maybe even some larger format bottles as well. And then they'll have, especially up here, they'll maybe have Thistle Cross the Stoford Press or Strongbow.
Tends to be the more mainstream, more well-known.
Yeah, exactly. And I understand why that would be the case at the moment with people not wanting to take a risk. But the cider makers I mentioned before, specifically Pulped, that's such an accessible, easy drinking cider that's well made and has a higher juice content than the majority you'll see in places. So yeah, just I think if you're going out somewhere and you fancy drinking a cider, ask them what they've got and kind of engage people in a conversation about it, rather than just ordering the cider.
Maybe that should be our next campaign, Grant, that wherever you go into, ask what ciders they have and then ask them about them, because again, I agree with you, the customer voice can be very powerful. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we have a minimum of 12 draft ciders on at any one time and they hop in.
Wow.
And it causes people to just kind of cross their eyes a little bit because they go, what? You know, and then I have to kind of, and I'm very happy to chat to them about them.
I think ciders definitely have no resurgence. It's very much like gin, isn't it? You know, gin's been going now for about 2 years. You know, cider now, whereas it's gone from the old, you know, White Lightning and Bulmers and, you know, and all that. So, God, I'm showing my age now. And
no,
yeah,
well.
You know,
I remember it as well,
cheers. That's all right then.
Oh, no. Very much so.
But yeah, I think it's great that there is so many new ciders coming out now, as I say, different ABVs, different styles of ciders, and yeah, but I think that that's great. As I say, I've enjoyed a couple myself, I've been quite surprised about, and yeah, you know, why should it just be beer? Yeah, cider, I think, certainly does deserve, you know, its turn. And I think it's certainly with, you know, happening now and will be in the next 12 months at least.
A lot to look forward to in 2022. Then it was good to hear Big Drop and other low alcohol beers getting a mention too. But it does sound like cider is following the beer trend to be in cans for easier drinking in smaller quantities with stylish artwork, sort of thing that, you know, hopefully getting a whole new demographic into cider. And one technique they mentioned that you might not have come across with cider is keeving. It's widely used in France. It's making a comeback in the UK. And it's a process where the pulp is packed in barrels. I really feel that Matt should be talking about this because he knows so much more about cider than I do, but I'll give it my best shot.
I'm not sure he does a lot of keeving with his cider apples.
Okay, well, it's where the pulp is packed in barrels for about 24 hours and it oxidises to a darker colour. It releases pectin into the juice and then that slows down the fermentation, leaving some natural sugars in the cider. That makes it sweeter, a lower ABV. And cider yeast will normally use up practically all the sugar, otherwise making it dry. And then it has to be manipulated to lower the ABV and raise the sweetness level. So keeving is all natural and that's why it's gaining popularity here. I mean, I almost know as much as Matt does.
I think I was very impressed by that. I know that cider knowledge is in good hands of you, Claire. But keeving is interesting. I've had quite a few keeved ciders recently, and I really do think if we're talking about things that are future, it's got such potential to kind of be a transformative thing. Because as you quite say, it takes a lot of effort to lower the ABV of cider and other drinks. You know, you have to kind of get it up to a normal level and then manipulate it. Whereas this just naturally kind of spits out an incredible product that just happens to be using all the natural sweetness. And I've seen actually somebody making like a keeved cider, and I was basically saying, could I just steal some of the pectin and take it and put it into my cider? But apparently no, there are no shortcuts like that. But I think it's a wonderful way of making cider and makes some really wonderful tastes as well.
Now Alison has also given us this roundup of all the points raised in her two interview sessions.
So it's been fascinating discussing and listening to four such interesting beer and cider people talk about what they think the upcoming trends are. For my part, I'm delighted to see milds really coming back and wonderful craft brewers like Boxcar creating some really delicious drinks. Also bitters as well, as we start to see craft brewers get excited, some of the small new microbreweries brewing bitters and making something truly delicious. Those malt driven beers, I'm looking forward to seeing what can happen with those in the upcoming year. I'm hoping to see more from Kent Cider as well, hoping to see those Kent cider makers growing even more into their own identity and finding their own voice. People like Turner's Cider with their russet, with their single variety russet ciders, Nightingales, Kentish Pip and more. I hope that people start to focus on what the opportunities are with cider, drinking cider, around that idea of minimum intervention. Some of these natural farmhouse ciders, there's really nothing added. Wild yeasts, it's just as pure as you can possibly think. And I know a lot of younger people very focused on that. And that hopefully could be something that will attract them into drinking real cider and perry. I hope we see more from urban cider making. We've seen people like Duck Chicken making wonderful cider in an urban setting. And more excitingly even, perhaps we have the Orchard Project working with waste apples. It would be wonderful to think that people can really tune in to reducing waste and making great cider. We may even start to see orchards in cities and towns, which would be wonderful for so many reasons. As for that trend for rosé ciders that's so popular in the States, I'm looking forward to seeing where that's going too. For the discussion, we saw lager mentioned, the continuing development of lager, improving, making more and more interesting styles, as well as wild ferments, mixed ferments and co-ferments, those old-fashioned styles really coming back into focus with experimental work from breweries. We mentioned cider and beer hybrids. How wonderful in a discussion like that to hear it, as well as low and no trends. So brewers and cider makers making more interesting flavours with less alcohol. A few breweries got name checked: Echo, Donzoco, Nomadic, Chapter, Lakes and many more. I'll be looking to try those. In the world of cider, there was some focus on Scotland with Caledonian and Dower getting mentioned, as well as real cider from Flair making its way into the supermarkets and available to all, which would be great. Little Pomona, of course, in Herefordshire, their continuing experimentation and innovation, exciting bottles to try from them, and the journey of cider into cans to see if it can capture some more of that relaxed drinking market, and hopefully we'll see that growing as well. For me personally, I think it would be wonderful if what Julie spoke about around cask continues to be true. As people come back into pubs more and more in 2022, we'll see them reaching for a beautiful, wonderfully conditioned glass of cask ale. After all, it's one of our proudest things we serve in this country, and it was great during lockdown to read Pete Brown's book Craft, all about just how we ought to be more and more proud of the wonderful and unique cask conditions beer we serve in this country. Whatever you've been inspired by, I hope that you will be looking for your own exciting trends in 2022. Cheers.
Now, we heard a bit about the popularity of craft lager there from some of our interviewees, but the very word used to be beyond the pale for real ale, folks. Now, we have unearthed an article from our archive dive of 1978 that is sounding the death knell for the pale fizzy stuff.
It is indeed, and I don't know whether this is kind of wishful thinking on the part of the What's Brewing editors at the time. They say a falling market share of only 20% in the 5 years to 1978 compared to 34% before that for lager. Now, obviously, it's a dangerous thing to extrapolate past performance into the future. So it did turn out lager made a really strong comeback. Sorry, 1978, guys. and actually reached the heady heights of 70% market share in the early 2000s. But now we've not only got a wonderful selection of ales and lots of drinks, we have craft lager, which I think even dyed-in-the-wool beer drinkers might find acceptable.
I mean, I've had the odd glass, yeah. But,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, I've read a book about it from Mark Dredge, who's a guest on the show quite a few times. You know, there's a whole new movement now where I would say that most ale producers are now developing a craft lager offering, or certainly a lot that I've seen. And so I think that it's an interesting thing how things kind of come full circle in that, and what I love about the industry at the moment is that there's such variety in ales, such variety in ciders, but craft lager perhaps revitalizes a drink that we've kind of demonized maybe for many years and is now like a really interesting offering and has all of the history and different styles and variety of tastes that some of the best ever drinks have too. But anyway, let us have our last orders of the year and Ant and I's final last orders ever. Now, I know it's only the start of December, but have any of you been tempted to maybe have an early taste of Christmas for our last orders with a winter ale, a mulled cider perhaps, cheeky mince pie? Where have we been?
No, I did actually go down the pub just before coming in to record this, and they didn't have any winter ales or mulled ciders or anything like that on. So I'm actually going to mention a beer that I had at our local pub, the Wheat Sheaf, Camera Award-winning pub, just at the weekend, and it's from the Salopian Brewery in Shropshire. It's called Golden Thread. It's won awards from SIBA, their West and Wales champion previously. It's 5% ABV. It's bright, it's clean and crisp, slightly sweet, slightly fruity. Really enjoyed it. You know, it's a bit of a long way from this part of the world, so I don't know how often it'll be on at our local, but I certainly hope they get it back sometime.
Yeah, I can't say I've had a bona fide hop Christmas ale, and there are so many to choose from, aren't there? You've got Adam's Shingle Shells, Brew York's Fairy Tale of Brew York. In fact, I had a Brew York Raspberry Pie the other day. That was quite an event. But no, the beer that I've gone for is kind of got the name. It's pretty much there. It's by Vocation Brewery, our friends up in the north in Yorkshire. And this is their Naughty and Nice. See what I did there with the Naughty and Nice list? Their Naughty and Nice Chocolate Stout. And I'm drinking it right now. That's why I couldn't get my lines out before. But yeah, this is that their gorgeous, rich, dark and really decadent chocolate stout. It's really bold. Matt and I were talking about it just before we hit the record button on this. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's one that you can sip through quite pleasantly while you're recording a camera podcast and indeed beyond. So yeah, for me, it's a Naughty and Nice chocolate stout. What have you got, Matt?
I'm just impressed you two are such professionals that you could be drinking it still, you know, going into detail in the complex topics we have. But I didn't trust myself to do that. So I am instead, it had to be a cider, didn't it, for my last orders. But I'm actually going for one that is only 0.5% because we're talking about the trendsetters and obviously low alcohol side of things, I think, is a really interesting trend following on from beer. And it's got a slightly Christmassy name, so maybe it does sneak in, although I don't think it is based on Christmas. Holly Go Lightly. Half Christmassy anyway, isn't it? There's lots of ones with different puns I nearly had, but it's very delicious actually. It's not kind of got that kind of slightly thin taste you sometimes get with lower ABV things. It's absolutely lovely and a very worthy last orders from me.
Well, that's all lovely and positive to finish off the year. Nice to think that there are such exciting times in store for beer and cider drinkers. But it's still a bit sad because it's the last time, guys, that you'll be on the podcast.
No.
And I mean, you've been here since the beginning, back in 2019. I'm a relative newcomer. So I feel I should sort of do the thank you speech to you both and say on behalf of the whole podcast team, everyone at camera, everyone who knows you and all the listeners and everyone else, thank you both for everything. And I'm sure you'll be in touch. I'm sure we'll hear you back in a cider special or...
Yeah, once Matt reaches that heady heights of amateur home brewer, he'll be on as his, you know, the
expert.
Cider farm.
Yeah.
That's it.
It could be a while yet, but I'll definitely do the tweets. You know, I'll do some tweets for you all.
Oh,
but
we'll be harassing the Twitter feed. Of course we will. That's absolutely the given. And you know what? We've absolutely had a ball, haven't we, Matt? All I will say is, you're absolutely right, Claire. Matt and I have been here since day dot with camera. We were doing some of the pilot episodes with Katie, and those episodes should never be unarchived. So if you ever do decide to go into those archives again with your future seasons, try and avoid, what was it, Matt, November 2019?
Yeah, we...
Probably avoid that kind of area, you know.
It takes a bit of practice, doesn't it, it turns out. It took us a little while to get going. But I mean, we have so many people to thank. I won't get too gushing. It's not an Oscar speech, but I do want to thank Katie for setting the podcast up in the first place and taking us on as volunteers. Emma and Beth for keeping it going. Sean for doing the socials.
Always
giving us some great content there. And everyone who's done script writing, editing, interviews, anybody who's tweeted in, anybody who's listened, just thank you all. It has been a real pleasure. And I really do hope that obviously the podcast continues and gets stronger and stronger. You're very welcome to still use my face on the illustrated logo if you want. It's only a small charge for my image rights. But it does, I've always thought it looked a little bit more like Jimmy Carr than me anyway, although I have loved that. I'm always thankful that they didn't put my beer belly in it and they made me look a bit trimmed. So I've always thought that's a great illustration job. So thank you.
I've always wondered what, you know, which way around people think we are at that pitch. You know, if they don't know us, you know, I should imagine that people have got us confused, but, you know, it's quite defined. Yes, you have got Jimmy Carr on the logo, and then there's me and Katie in the middle.
Yes, Katie's still in the middle, yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you'd like to be involved in the podcast or even if you fancy being a host, then drop us an email. It's podcast@camera.org.uk, or maybe you know somebody who's really keen to get into to podcasting and broadcasting. Then it's the same email address, podcast@camera.org.uk. We're taking a break until 2022, but there'll be a new series in the new year. And we thought it might be quite nice, actually, to revisit some of our previous episodes, or perhaps I should say the bit that you never get to hear, which is the bloopers tape. And
oh, no.
Yeah.
Claire, please tell me you've not done this to us.
So that's how we're going to end this episode.
Ho, ho, ho. Don't worry, Claire, Matt and Anthony. If you remember to send your Christmas beers to all the volunteers that work on the podcast, then there's nothing for you to worry about with the outtakes. Oh, you didn't. Well, serves you right then.
Okay, we are live and recording. Please refrain from saying anything that you wouldn't want your grandma to hear.
As the name suggests, it is, but there's a miller's wheel in the bottom of it. Whoa!
There's the dog.
There it is.
Okay, hang on, I'll just go and deal with it.
Shush.
Shush.
Yeah, I guess. Sorry, that was a terrible start for me. Thank you. Sorry, editor. Here we go.
Eem. That wasn't the line. That was me making a strange
eem.
Noise.
Yeah. Eem.
That's a strange Yorkshire noise.
I love that. Eem. I.
These aren't noises I normally make.
Yeah, I guess. Sorry, that was a terrible start for me. Thank you. Sorry, editor. Here we go.
As the title of today's episode suggests, we will be talking about what our French cousins would describe as tarot.
I don't even know
how to.
Tarot. Tarot. I believe. I don't know. Okay. I think it's
Tara. Okay. I'll do the whole thing again.
I've been waiting to cough for so long.
I mean, that is how you come out of an interview. Sadly, we are coming to the end of the series. As Matt said, our next episode, episode 9, will be the last one. It's been very good. Hang on. It's been very good. I'm off now. But HMRC, our mates over there, still have the last laugh, because at the time the article was published in What's Brewing, then Chancellor Dennis Healey, another course mincer, had just added VAT to homebrew products.
Are you allowed to say that about Dennis Healey?
If he's listening, he wouldn't mind. You know, me and Den, we'd never go back. I've never met the bloke, but I'm sure.
just have a quick lawyer chat.
My thoughts and opinions are my own, not representative of camera or the podcast.
Any allegations about past chancellors of the Exchequer are entirely unfounded.
Do you think I should do the line again? Are we a bit worried about that? I'll do it again. Right, editor, I'm going to give you a clean line. You decide. It's in your my fate is in your hands.
Okay, take two.
I thought it was hilarious, though, that people didn't even recognise their own cider. I mean, that's great, right?
Yeah, but if you're having cider trials, let's hope that the cider gets off at the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is true. Right. Oh god. Sorry,
I'm here all week.
I'm struggling to keep it together.
This is why we don't record at night time. No, it's learning and development, or learn and discover rather. Let me do the line again, because it's learning and discover, not learning.
It is learning and development, to be fair. That's what
that's what I know it as, but clearly camera don't call it that. Right. Indeedy. Now, this episode has been different. Oh, I just clapped in front of the mic, sorry. just clapped right in front of the mic. Indeed. Oh, I don't care what I said.
It's just the way you're saying it each time. It's just brilliant. I just want them just to have that.
Which sounds like the prequel to Kevin and Perry.
I was literally going to say, it does sound like that. The origin story of the lesser of the two.
How Kathy Burke became a teenage boy.
I love that. It might be that, Or it might be...
It's not that.
It might be about a drink, an alcoholic drink made out of pears. We don't know. You know, you just go on there. Look, you did for this one, guys. To find out what it is. So let's assume that it's about the study alcoholic drink made from pears.
On our timeline available on the website, that's camera.org.uk, and then beer and cider/cider.
Oh my god, don't read
all
this.
That's the longest URL.
This is the longest URL I've ever seen in my
Tune
life.
Tune in at camera.org.uk/beer-cider.
Go to the website and search for fucking
forward
cider.
Slash.
I'll start this section again. Right, okay.
That's right, this is a Halloween special, everybody. So don't be afraid of all the ghoulish puns we're going to unleash. It's all going to be fun for the ghost. Oh, I've done it! Ah, dear, I am.
That's good, we got to 30 seconds in with that one.
Yeah.
Camera Cider Month is still ongoing. October is Cider and Sidey.
Next time we're heading to the northeast to the massive northeast. Is it Manchester in the northwest?
Pretty sure that Manchester's in the northwest.
Yeah, it's moved. Okay, let's start that again.
I will start speaking.
We are season 4, episode 4, Halloween Horrors, live in session with Mr. Matt Bundy, Madam Claire Phillips, and me, Anthea Rillo. We hope you enjoy the recording. Apologies for all the f**ks you're about to hear. And then with that, Matt, you take it away.
I'm in, here we go.
We have unearthed an article from our archive, Dave, from Dave.
Archive Dave. These should be in the bloopers, though, you know, these are the things, though, we're going, it's too late.
That's who the new podcast presenter could be, Archive Dave.
Archive Dave.
Oh my god, right, here we go. Tip of the tongue, teeth in the lips. We have unearthed an article from our Archive Dive from 1978 that this sounding the death knell...
So close.
Why can't I do this line? Right, I'm going to say it really fast just to piss everybody off. Right, here we
you
go.
Do it.
Just thought to quickly shit myself. Oh, I can't say that. Definitely can't say that. Sorry.
No, I don't think you can say that.
I can't say that. I'm sorry, Dave. Claire, save me.
There we are then. Merry Christmas.
Well, there you have it. All I can say is I'm going to be hiding behind the sofa for the rest of the day. They are hilarious. We do hope you have a great rest of year, folks. Whatever you're doing, whoever you're spending it with, all the very best for Christmas and beyond. From the three of us, for the very last time, it's a big, fat cheers.
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 You'll never get that right, Matt.
Never get it, ever.
You're fired.
Never, ever. I've got it right.
Okay, let's stop.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How does a free case of beer sound?
Yes, you can grab a case for free courtesy of our pals at Beer 52 by going to www.beer52.com/people, that's the numbers 52 in the 52, and covering the meagre postage cost of £5.95. And what's more, as a special offer for our listeners, they'll throw in 2 extra beers for free, so that's 10 unique craft beers.
Beer 52 is actually the biggest beer club in the world. Each month, they send their members a case of beer from a different part of the world, and this month it's an absolute belter. Their great European road trip case takes in the best beers from across the continent.
So try a crisp, refreshing Pilsner from Norway's Lervig Brewery and a monster 7.5 double IPA from Sweden's Durges Brewery. On the dark side this month, there's a smooth stout from Copenhagen's Tuol. There's also beer from Croatia, Poland, Germany, Serbia and Austria, among others.
And if dark beer's not your thing, you can choose the light-only case. Also included is the ever-insightful Ferment magazine and a couple of tasty snacks. And even if, after all that, you're still unsatisfied, you can simply pause or cancel at any time.
So head over to www.beer52.com/people to claim your free case of 10 beers now.